Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What We Spend is a new podcast that explores something we almost never talk about. Every week, you'll hear a different guest share everything they spend their money on. What We Spend is available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, there should be some passion. This doesn't have to be boring.
Hey, one thing the game needs is more people like you.
Still have grown men run around tight pants.
It's Mookie Betts.
This is Daniel Bard.
It's Steve Aoki.
Jared Salt Lamacchia.
This is Brock Holt.
Hey, this is John Lester.
Baseball isn't boring.
Welcome to Baseball Isn't Boring. Here's your host, Rob Radford.
Here's Santana batting right-handed. Popped up his first time. He swings and sends it. Deep right center field. This ball is gone. First home run of the year, right-handed. A grand slam to right center. A 5-0 Cleveland lead. A brand new Hyundai for Edward Moss of Cleveland. And 4 brand new Bridgestone tires to Mike Marks of Wadsworth from Conrad's.
Home run call of the day. Tom Hamilton with the call. Carlos Santana with the home run for the Cleveland Guardians. Yes, is there a better way to start the day? No, science suggests there is no better way to start the day than with the home run call of the day. And that's what you get, Carlos Santana, today. We appreciate everybody. We appreciate all the broadcasters who have lent their excellence to the home run call of the day. All right. Well, we've had a great week, going to continue to have a great week all through the weekend, all through the month, all through the summer, all through the season. It's a good, good time to follow at BB Isn't Boring, at BB Isn't Boring. So Lucas Giolito's back. Lucas Giolito's back on the podcast, friend of the program, family member of the program, and he's always great. He's one of these guys you sit down with, and the next thing it's 50 minutes, it's an hour, whatever it is. Well, it's never difficult to find a topic to talk about with Lucas. We can talk about movies, we can talk about podcasts, we can talk about Netflix, we can talk about restaurants, whatever it is. And we do talk about movies. We talk about me walking out of a movie, and it's very controversial. So we're going to get looped back to that because I have given him a task of going to see the movie that I walked out on. So you're going to have to listen to hear more about that. But I also want to know what it was like for a major league pitcher when you have a stinker of an outing to go from a stinker of an outing to a really good one, what the process is like, what the mindset is like. And fortunately, Lucas takes us through that. To give you some context, Lucas Giolito against the Los Angeles Angels went an inning and 2/3 and gave up 7 runs and 8 hits. An inning and 2/3, 7 runs, 8 hits. That, my friends, is not good. So you have that situation on June 4th. What did that feel like? How did he react? How long did it take to get rid of that feeling? And what was the plan going forward? Because you got to figure this out. Well, he did figure it out. June 10th, his next start against Tampa Bay, he goes 6 innings, gives up 1 run, 0 earned runs. He figured it out. How did that happen? What were the days like in between the starts? It is all, to me, fascinating. Fascinating. And I think it's something that maybe we don't know happens, and we don't understand the process that goes into it. But fortunately, we have Lucas Giolito on the Baseball Is a Boring podcast to give us the what's what when it comes to that. All right. So Lucas explains exactly all of this. Also on this podcast, John Mangum of the Tampa Bay Rays, a guy who has done podcasting, a guy who has dominated college baseball, comes on the podcast to talk about both those things, podcasting and dominating college baseball, or living the life of that glorious world of college baseball, obviously Mississippi State legend. Also had four hits on the same exact field as grandfather, played football with the Boston Patriots at Fenway Park. All right, so, but first we're going to kick it off with Giolito, and then we'll get to John Mangum. All right, remember, @BB isn't boring. Here you go. Here's Lucas.
Guess what? There's no human being after a win that I'd rather talk to than Lucas Giolito. Podcasts are always a little sweeter after wins, aren't they?
Yeah.
Things that you did not know like 5 years ago.
What did I not know 5 years
ago? Like how sweet it would be to do a podcast. Like the rewards of winning a game and pitching well is that there's so many of them, but sitting down and feeling that you are doing a podcast with this accomplishment under your belt, it hits different, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Thank you. all right, first off, what I want to do, I didn't even like talk to you what I wanted to do, but that's what I want to do. I think it gets a good exercise to take people behind, to educate, inform, and offer insight what it's like when you have a bad start and you have a good start, like what that process is like. Mm. Is that okay? Is that good?
Sure.
All right. Also, what documentaries are you watching right now?
The Vietnam one on Netflix.
Oh, I saw it.
Yeah. I watched the first episode of that.
I went and saw a movie the other day, the Wes Anderson movie, Phoenician.
Oh, I want to see that. I gotta go.
I walked out. Have you ever walked out of a movie?
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? Well, then listen to What We Spend, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Grown-ups 2.
What?
Grown-ups 2, horrible.
That's like, you walked out because it was... I mean, it wasn't like a cinematic classic, but
entertaining. It wasn't entertaining. It wasn't funny.
Really?
Stupid.
Do you know Grown Ups was filmed where I grew up, like in the street?
That's cool.
Yeah, thank you. But Grown Ups 2 didn't. No? Shaq rolling the. No?
No.
But. So I like Wes Anderson's movie. Like Life Aquatic is. You ever see Life Aquatic?
Yep. Yeah. I've seen most of the Wes Anderson movies.
Rate, power rank your Wes Anderson movie.
Oh, geez, dude. Aye, aye, aye. Grand Budapest Hotel's one. I can't think of any more. That's my favorite one.
Life Aquatic.
Fantastic Mr. Fox is great. Zuzu, whatever. Steve Zuzu.
Yeah, Steve Zuzu, yeah.
What's the other one I was?
The Boy Scout one.
I can't forget.
Moonlight, what is it? Moonlight something?
Moonlight Kingdom?
Kingdom, great pull.
That's wrong. It's not Moonlight Kingdom.
It absolutely is Moonlight Kingdom.
It's Moonlight Kingdom. And then there's... shit. I don't remember.
All right. So anyway, I saw this movie. I tried to power through it. Here's my take. I just felt like it was trying too hard to be Wes Anderson.
Well, he is Wes Anderson. I haven't seen it yet. I've watched like 10 seconds of a trailer. So we can't really discuss it until after I watch
it. It's a good trailer. Well, please see it.
Yeah.
We'll do a review. You know Wes Anderson? Was Wes Anderson in the suite at Dodger Stadium for Game 1?
I don't think so.
No. Has your mother ever acted in a Wes Anderson movie?
No.
I do watch those films, though, and I'm thinking how weird it would be to act in those, you know?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I think the set design is pretty interesting, and the color palette and all that.
Okay.
I don't know how. What do you think would make it weird for the actors?
Because everything, the how you have to deliver your lines is so like stunted and
yes.
and not like not how any you would deliver your lines in any. Benicio del Toro has not ever delivered his lines like this.
It makes me excited to watch.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there you go. I'm hyping it up. I look forward to you seeing it so I can. Can you tell me why I'm so full of shit for walking out of it?
Okay.
Maybe it was tired. Sometimes you go to like a later one, it's tired.
It might have not been for you, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway. I know what it was for me, watching Lucas Giolito.
Good segue. Nice segue.
Okay, take me through. You have the start, the previous start. It's not good. It doesn't go well. You're mad, you don't feel good, you're trying to process it, you're trying not to overreact. Take me through, we'll start with that feeling, what that feeling is like, how hard it is to turn the page from that.
It's a tough one for me. Everyone's different. I envy the guys that can just like flush it immediately, and like my personality is different for like 24 hours. I wish I was better about that, but it like completely changes how I am for like a 24-hour period.
Really?
Yeah.
And so
I'm very angry, very disappointed in myself. And then you move on.
Okay, so you wake up the next day.
It's the worst.
Yeah, so
you like don't want to wake up.
You don't want to get out of bed.
Well, no, I mean,
you don't want to wake up. Forget about getting out of bed.
Yeah, you just don't want to wake up. Yeah, it's tough. I'm the type of guy I put a lot of pressure on myself. So, when I don't live up to my own expectation of what I think I can do when I take the ball performance-wise, then I get very upset with myself. It's something I can definitely get better at.
You're mad, but when does it become like, what the fuck just happened? Like, when does that enter in? Like, when do you start saying, hey, listen, like, what happened here?
That's more like right away.
Yeah.
The, like, what the hell, what, you know, that's like walking into the dugout in the second inning after giving up 7 runs. That's like, what the fuck just happened?
Yeah.
And then, from there, it's like I said, my personality changes. I become much more angry person. But at the same time, I immediately start analyzing and trying to figure out, okay, what do we do to make this right? And after the last one in particular, I think a combination of myself, Bales, it was like, what can we do to make this better?
Did you have an instinct of what went wrong and how you can make it right away?
It was a culmination of my entire season up to this point. I think my mechanics were not in a good place. I'm right when I came back to the big leagues, like my mechanics were not in a good place, and I was trying to fight through it. I had some good games mixed in there, just because I was able to get synced up despite what I was doing. But there was a lot of poor performances that, we really need to clean that up. So we got to work. We analyzed the mechanics and made some good adjustments.
How do you analyze the mechanics? Again, because I'm stupid. Like people want to know, like, how do you do that?
Well, and now that we live in the future, we have access to a lot of cool technology for that. So what we did was we pulled up the biomechanics report, where they basically have your delivery but your skeleton.
It's a stick figure thing.
And that's skeleton.
Skeleton.
They have the entire, all the bones and everything.
Okay.
So you're looking at your skeleton, and we were comparing that against skeletons from some, where they basically take an average of some of your best outings and your best pitches from years past. And we saw some very clear differences in the way I was delivering the baseball currently versus in the past. So we then created a game plan of drills and like kind of like focus things to be focused on while playing catch, while throwing the baseball, and just started implementing that, and then we were able to clean up a lot.
How was your skeleton different?
It was much more flat. Shoulders, hips, flat going down the mound rather than creating angle and tilt.
Okay. So that, in a nutshell, that was the thing that you said you saw that in your skeleton.
Yeah, I mean, it led to a lower arm slot, which is, for the type of pitcher I am, that's less life. You know, a fastball, everything, not just a fastball, that's easier for a hitter to see and track. So we went ahead and started working on those adjustments immediately, like the day after. I think we had an off day, but then the day after that, started to get
to
work.
So when you throw your bullpen at Yankee Stadium, it's basically you're like, okay, you have that in the back of your head, your skeleton in the back of your head, like mm-hmm. all that stuff in the back of your head. But still, does it feel weird to do it differently? You know what I'm saying?
A little bit, but it was also kind of cathartic and a relief because when I started throwing the baseball with the right mechanics, quote unquote, it felt really good, yeah. And the data supported that. So it was like, perfect, we're on to something here. We're going to stick with this, carry it into the next outing, and go on from there.
How the version of your skeleton that you had, I'm going to keep saying skeleton because I like saying it, but the version of your skeleton that you had in that bullpen session where you had fixed things, was that what your skeleton had been when you had the good starts before? Or were the good starts before were just sort of a happenstance?
They were happenstance, yeah. That's why it was important after another bad one, because I don't know if my season this year has been like some really good starts and some horrendously bad ones. Yeah. And we got to get rid of the horrendously bad. Like that doesn't play here. So that was the thing. It was like, we have to find a way where my body is comfortable. I'm able to make adjustments in game. And if I'm getting into the correct positions, it's going to be a lot easier to make those adjustments in game. And so that's what we accomplished. But the work never ends. You know, it's a
work
good
never
step
ends.
Forward. It was a good step forward, but we got to stay on that path.
When did you want to wake up?
When did I want to wake up?
Yeah, you said you didn't want to wake up the day after. When did it become like, okay, you're springing out of bed?
And the next day. Because we had a game plan and things to work on.
So were you you probably just answered this question, but were you worried? Like, you worried, like, hey, anytime you don't do well, like, I think I can figure it out, but this was so weird that it didn't work. Were you worried at all 48 hours later? Or were you even worried after you did all this stuff when you go to the mound for the first time and you throw the first pitch against the Tampa Bay Rays that, hey, I think everything's right, but I don't know?
Yeah, I wasn't worried anymore. Because we had made the adjustment, and I knew that as long as I stuck to it and didn't allow myself to fall into bad habits, and I just kept delivering, you know, good quality pitches the way that I know how to, it's all gonna be fine.
So, the version of you waking up in the morning on the day of your start, Tuesday morning, you were like, "Let's go," like. It is completely different, like, yes. Completely different human being.
Yeah, I felt a lot more excited for the game and more confident. Just because I knew I was going to be able to have my body and my mechanics in the right spot to where now I feel confident in executing pitches and challenging these hitters.
You love the game of baseball once more.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Yeah, the ultimate love-hate relationship.
Well, I don't know if you saw my tattoo, but I mean, yeah. Happy, sad, right?
Yep. There exactly.
You're more than welcome to get one yourself. And then when you're rolling in the game, you get in the game, you feel confident the whole time. What a feeling that must be compared to, I mean, like, we talk about happy, sad, but you don't know what's going to happen. You know, a guy might run into one and hit a three-run homer. But still, having sort of the ability to do it, the bullets in the gun, you know, must be a completely different feeling.
Yeah. I'd say even if yesterday didn't go so well performance-wise, I mean, it did go well performance-wise, but even if I'd given up a three-run homer, it would have been a much better feeling coming out of it, knowing that we're headed in the correct direction. Okay. And that I know what I need to do to be successful, so we just got to keep hammering that work.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad they have Skeletor, skeletons to fix things.
Yeah.
I mean, you didn't have this before, right?
I don't know when
how did you fix this?
It was stick figures first. It was stick figures first, and now we got the full-on skeletons.
When does the skeletons come into play?
I don't know. Sometime in the last few years.
Okay, I don't know. All right, well, anyway, I'm happy that you're happy. We're happy for you. And now you don't go to movie. You won't go to the movie theater.
Maybe tomorrow. Off day.
You'll go to the movie? We go see that?
Yeah.
I'll pay for your
popcorn. Please don't pay for anything. No, we're good.
You think that Siskel and Ebert ever had to pay for their movies? No.
No.
No. So if you get a review,
I want to go in and enjoy it. I want to go in there with a notepad, like, you know. I just want to have fun.
All right. Well, it's always fun. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks.
Good time.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? On the podcast What We Spend, guests will, for 1 week, tell us everything they spend their money on.
My son slammed $6 worth of blueberries in 5 minutes.
And everything that makes them feel.
I want to own a house. I want to have a child. But this morning, I really wanted a coffee.
Because at the end of the day, money is always about more than your balance. Listen to and follow What We Spend, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Times. Good times. I love some good skeleton talk. Baseball and skeletons. Match made in heaven. Evidently. Who knew? All right. Well, next up is John Mangum. As we said, played for the Rays. As we said, has a podcast. It's starting a new podcast. As we said, is one of the most prolific college baseball players you will have seen in recent memory with Mississippi State. So I wanted to talk to him about podcasts. I wanted to talk to him about living life as in the college baseball world. Because one of the things that Jazz Chisholm said the other day, and we're hoping to talk to Jazz in a few days here, was he was encouraging the trash talk in baseball, going back and forth with Hunter Dobbins. And he also said, yeah, just like we should be more like college baseball. Well, okay. College baseball is going to be in the news, College Baseball World Series. So why not talk to a guy who dominated college baseball? And also, like I said, anytime anybody, any athlete, any baseball player introduces himself into the world of podcasting, I want to talk to him about that. All right, here's Jake Ming.
All right, there's no human being on the planet I'd rather be talking to than Jake. Thank you.
That's crazy.
No, it's not so crazy. There's a lot to talk about. I appreciate you. First of all, anytime I see anybody, any athlete, especially any baseball player who is interested in doing a podcast, which you are, correct?
Yeah, I enjoy it. Just talking ball.
Yeah. So I'm fascinated in talking about it. And I think I told you yesterday about, you know, my conversation with Mookie Betts. And what he said, Jake, was that it made him look at things differently. Because, like, when you're answering questions in front of your locker, you're sort of just answering and you're not, like, asking back, you know. So for you, like, what is the thing that you like about it? What is the thing that sort of drew you to it? And just take anything you want to talk about that I'm interested in.
Well, I wouldn't be here in the major leagues if it wasn't for other people to, like, allowing me to learn from them. So just being able to interview people and figuring out, you know, how they operate, how they process things really helped me because I learned stuff from them. It's much different than just answering questions. When you're the one asking the questions, you realize how difficult it is to be the interviewer. And that's something I've definitely noticed. So yeah, Mookie's right, man. You do learn how difficult it is to ask good questions. It's tough.
And you do it with Brandon, correct?
Walker?
Yeah.
We haven't started our show yet.
Okay.
But, I did my own little thing for a while. Okay. And I did some stuff for my university, Mississippi.
Okay.
State.
Okay.
Yep. And me and Brandon are going to get to it at some point, but we're not in any rush.
Okay. All right. I saw that. By the way, what was it? The proceeds go to NIL, right?
Yeah, we were going to get it all.
Oh, man. That's yeah. That's what podcasting can do, great things. Like, we have this the other podcast at Odyssey, the other national baseball podcast, is Brett Boone's podcast. So, science would suggest if you do a podcast, you become a hitting coach. And you do a podcast, you do great things. So, excellent. So, I mean, when it comes to what interests you about that, like, I find what you said fascinating in the sense of, like, you're accepting that when you're looking around, you're trying to learn. Mm-hmm. When you're listening, you're trying to learn. I remember the guy, for me, Tori Lovello, is a guy who every single time you talked to him, he would be answering questions. For you, like, where did that come from? Is that something you always have done? And where has that sort of hit for you the most?
Just over the years, I like picking people's brains. I like learning how they operate. There's a common theme with successful people in the game of baseball and in life. They typically have some same characteristics, and I just like learning about it. I like learning how they learn those things. I like learning how they process things. I like learning the stories of how they learned, all that different stuff. So it's just, I'm always trying to learn. I'll never stop trying to learn, because this is, as far as the game of baseball goes, it's a difficult game that no one's perfect in. Mm-hmm. So you just keep trying to learn. And as far as the podcast goes, I'm just trying to help my university out, Mississippi State, any way I can. Love that place, love what they did for me, and I'll always support them.
What is the thing that, do you listen to podcasts, first of all?
Not too much. I'm so busy with baseball. I listen to music, watch TV shows.
Okay.
Every now and again.
Podcasts. Are you a Netflix guy?
It's whatever. It's any good show. Any.
So I just wondered, like, if there was any. So sometimes I listen, even doing these interviews, right? You're going to teach me something today. Sometimes I listen, like, I'll listen to Conan O'Brien podcast. I'm like, oh, that's interesting. I didn't look at it that way. I use this example when we talked to Luke Weaver the other day, is that Charlie Morton said, you have this one line, Jake. He said, hey, you know what? They give the opportunity to figure it out, then you should figure it out.
Yeah.
I mean, I ran to my kids. I'm like, here, listen to this. Is there something this year, like a moment that you can identify as like, this is an example of what I listened, I learned, I watched?
Just being in the big leagues, finally getting a taste of the big leagues. You realize that all the problems you have in the minor leagues are still the same problems you have up here. It's hard to hit a baseball. It's hard to catch a baseball. It's baseball's hard. It's hard at every level. And you get up here and you realize people make mistakes up here too. So just everything you learn in the minor leagues kind of is a learning process in order to be here and have success. So all the things I've learned through my life has helped me today.
Did you realize that before you got to the big leagues?
You never know until you're here. You always have a thought process of things, but whenever you're here and you're seeing it every day, you learn new stuff.
When you get to professional baseball, you obviously had a ton of success in college. We'll get to that in a second. But when you get to professional baseball, was it, looking back, we're like, okay, I'm on my way. Here we go. I mean, it's not a bad thing.
Look, my goal when I was a kid, I wanted to start 3 years in the SEC somehow. Like, you know, probably come in as a freshman, not play, and then start 3 years. That was my
dream. That was a goal as a kid, really?
That was my goal. But then I got there, had a big freshman year, and then it kind of changed. So, all right, we can try to pro ball. Stayed in college a little longer than I planned after that freshman year. But it was fun, man. Enjoyed every second of it. Got a chance in pro ball and trying to make the most of it.
When you talk about going to college, you know, Jazz Chisholm said the other day about how, like, he wished college, it was more like college baseball in terms of the enthusiasm, in terms of talk and everything else like that. What is for you, first of all, do you agree with that? Do you miss that? And what is that dynamic like? Because we're heading into the College World Series.
It goes away in minor leagues. Minor leagues is a different game. But in the big leagues, the enthusiasm comes, and it's all about winning, just like college is. Everything's about winning the baseball game, no matter which way you can. So I do like that side of it. look, college was fun. Pro ball has been fun. I just like playing ball. I don't care what level it is. And, I'm happy to still be able to do it at age 29.
Why Mississippi State? You were going to Alabama,
from,
right?
I'm from Mississippi. Yeah, yeah. My dad played football at Alabama, so I committed to Alabama quick. I just didn't want to leave my home state. I didn't want to leave Mississippi. College baseball in Mississippi kind of is what we do.
Yeah.
I just didn't want to leave the state.
Papelbon's here.
Oh, yeah.
Can you talk to him?
I saw Paps yesterday.
Yeah, all right. He's a legend. He's a legend out there. Don't tell him that, please.
He's a legend.
By the way, your granddad, Boston Patriots, right?
Yep. His home football stadium was Fenway Park.
Fenway Park. That's crazy. Really?
Yep. My grandfather was a Boston Patriot. My dad was a Chicago Bear. And my uncle was a Carolina Panther.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what for you, was it baseball from the jump, or was it like?
I fell in love with baseball pretty quick.
Did
I quit
you?
Football after ninth grade, but love football, but I love
you just baseball. Quit it. You just did do it anymore?
Yeah. After the ninth grade season, I was just like, I'm going to focus on baseball. Played baseball year round in high school.
Did your family be like, hey, listen,
they fully supported.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's great. Yeah. That's cool. So when you're going through with college and you do decide to go to Mississippi State, and I think that, like you mentioned something that's so important. It's about winning. I mean, minor leagues.
We had 16,000 people at games in college baseball, and they were living and dying on every pitch.
Isn't that crazy?
It was the coolest experience ever. But that was a big thing that helped me in pro ball. Like now when I come to Fenway Park and there's 35,000, I tell everyone, like, the 16,000 in Mississippi State, yeah, it's not as much as this, but it.
You feel
like,
it.
Like there's a certain number you get to when you're playing in front of people. That it's like a lot of people is a lot of people.
Yeah.
You know, like the difference of 30,000 and 40,000, really, like, it's a lot of people either way.
Yeah.
So 16,000 is not near as much as this, but it was a crazy atmosphere every night. And it was a big learning experience for me to be able to feel comfortable in the
it's atmosphere. Different, like, the also the intensity of the people hanging on every pitch. I
it was every
you
pitch.
Feel it, right?
It was every pitch. If there's a bad call, there's 16,000 people just on the umpire. You don't get that as much as that in MLB.
No.
It's there, but it's not like, ball off the plate, called strike, everyone's on them.
No.
But yeah, man, a lot of people's a lot of people. Like,
yeah.
30,000, 40,000, like, it's, you know what I mean? So it's...
you've had a lot of great memories in college, obviously, but what is, give me like an anecdotal, like give me just this happened, this was a crazy, I'm telling my story.
Year, my senior year, we hosted a super regional at home, my last home weekend at Duty Noble. And it was so cool, man. I'll never forget that weekend. My debut weekend with the Rays, my Fenway debut, getting four hits in my first game in Fenway was really, really cool. I'll never forget that. And stepping in the box against Chapman the other night, that was a pretty surreal feeling.
Was it?
Yeah. And watching him pitch for so long.
Did you?
To face him in extra innings at Fenway in my first game after signing the monster before the game. That was cool.
And you know, is your granddad still with us? Or
no, he passed before I was born.
Oh, okay. I don't know if your dad passed on the, like, because I kind of know how it was configured for football here. They still have football games here for college.
Yeah.
It's okay. It's not Mississippi State, but I would die, love to know, like, what, you know, sort of go back and see any highlights. I mean,
I would love to.
That is such a cool thing that you're playing at where your granddad played, right?
Yeah, I think he's up in heaven and he helped me get four hits tonight for my Fenway debut. I think he had something to do with it.
That's awesome. Just the last thing, going back to the sort of the podcast for you. You know, it's nice to do something else, right? I don't know if you do anything, like, if you have any hobbies or whatever, and you're pretty focused on baseball. But podcasting is a nice different thing for you when you do it. Who would be some of the ideal people that you want to have on it? I know the ones that it's a Mississippi State based podcast. But if you were doing this.
I want Chipper Jones, man. He was my favorite.
Was he?
I grew up
really?
A Braves fan. I switched it. Kind of watching Chipper Jones.
Did you really?
Yeah.
And like wiffle ball?
Yeah, I started switch hitting when I was 13. So
okay.
Glad I did it. And Chipper was a big reason I wanted to do it.
And so you would that's the guy. That's your go to.
Absolutely.
All right, can we do the exercise? I'm Chipper Jones. What would what would you ask?
I would ask him his story. I want to know more about the switch hitting piece. I want to know his approach against righties and lefties on both sides of the play. I want to know if he was thinking the same swing thoughts from both sides of the plate, or if he looked at it as completely different hitters from both sides of the plate. Would love to pick his brain, man.
That's awesome. See, I mean, and then you would, 50 minutes later, you'd be talking with Chipper Jones. Yeah. That's awesome. Well, I appreciate it, man. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What We Spend is a new podcast that explores something we almost never talk about. Every week, you'll hear a different guest share everything they spend their money on. What We Spend is available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.